This mileage and reconditioning may be deducted from trade-in value. See dealer for details.
You can never be too rich or too geeky. Here's Ken Colburn and Brandon Disney.
Finger food and an ice cold cake. It won't cost you.
And thanks to our musical director, my son Taylor, for bringing in his Weird Al Yankovic CD.
Yeah, buddy.
Before we go back to the phones here, let's do our download of the week and our Geek Speak of the Week, shall we? Geek Speak of the Week, it's our attempt to help you...
I don't know!
Exactly. Cut through that garbage, those people that like to call themselves geeks, that likes to, they like to talk down to you, they like to treat you like you don't know what you're doing, and they use terminology to make sure that they feel like they're superior. So we're going to try to help you cut through all that with our Geek Speak of the Week segment. And this week's Geek Speak of the Week is...
Hard bounce.
Hard bounce. Yeah, you gonna help me?
It's a dramatic effect.
No, that's a pregnant pause. And you didn't even know that, did you?
Get a clue.
All right. The hard bounce is a term used to describe an email message that is returned to the sender. You've all experienced this because the email address on the message was incorrect. You mistyped something, or you sent it to an address that is no longer valid or has been closed or is non-existent. It's called a hard bounce. There's also something called a soft bounce, which a lot of email accounts have a limit to how much they can have. And sometimes you'll get an email message back saying, recipient's mailbox is full, try later. That's a soft bounce, meaning that if you try again later, you'll probably be able to get through. A hard bounce means ain't going to happen.
Unless you find another address for them, this ain't going to work.
That's the internet equivalent of forget about it.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And our download of the week for you digital camera aficionados, Google recently acquired a program called Picasa, considered to be one of the better programs out there for manipulating, emailing, and cropping, and working with digital images. And now it's free.
Free?
Absolutely.
That's kind of cool.
It's our featured download of the week. It's Picasa, and if you have a digital camera, it's worth checking it out.
It definitely does some really cool things, like letting you do basic cropping and getting rid of red eye and
email
and stuff like that. Oh, email. Just
how many
it.
People use email and instant messaging, and they try to take these images that they just took from their, they take a picture in their digital camera.
Their brand new 5-megapixel camera.
My daughter was just doing this. 2-meg file that she's trying to IM to somebody.
Mm.
Anyway. Let's go back to the phones here and let's talk to Jim, who has an Olympus digital camera and has a question.
Yeah, I bought a Visionaire, a cheapie, on sale here a while back, and it takes secure digital memory, and I bought a secure digital memory.
You bought a Visionaire camera?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know they made cameras.
From the company who brings you really bad scanners.
Well, I didn't either, but maybe it was the only one they made.
Oh, okay, so the Olympus thing is he mistyped.
Well, no, I have an Olympus also.
Oh, okay.
But my basic question is about
the Visionaire?
The memories. The memories. This secure digital card that I bought has 60X on it.
Yes, that's an SD card, and the 60X refers to the transfer speed capability.
That's how fast the pictures can be put on it by the camera, or how fast, more importantly, they can be transferred off onto your computer through like a card reader.
Okay, and what's normally standard on...
Well, there is no normal or standard. It's just that the higher that number is, the faster it can transfer between your card reader and your computer. Now, that's predicated on the rest of the stuff all being capable of doing this high-speed stuff. So the chip itself is that's about as fast as they get right now, 60X. About a year ago, I think they were 32X.
And check out this cool math. It's about 60 times faster than the original SD.
No, it's exactly 60 times faster.
Yeah. Then we did that math in our head.
The transfer rate of 60X is about 9 megabits per second. I don't know if you have any point of reference on that at all. But a really fast internet connection is, 600K. So this is like over, it's exponentially faster.
Well, could it be too fast for the cheap camera I got?
No, it has nothing to do with the camera.
Okay.
Well, it should be completely backwards compatible, meaning a camera... Some cameras will actually have a requirement, like higher-end Nikons, for example. They require you to have at least a 16X card because the thing has to unload its buffer that quickly, but you can always go faster than that.
I've not heard, and now it's possible. It's possible that the card doesn't match, and you might want to look in the owner's manual or at the website for the camera manufacturer to see if they talk about any incompatibilities with the faster rated cards.
Okay.
But it should not be. In all the other aspects of this memory situation, generally you can put a faster component into a slower hardware device, and it's not a problem.
Well, now on my Olympus, they use Smart Media, and I don't recall it ever saying anything about the speed on the chip on it.
Yeah, not all of the memory systems are rated that way.
Yeah, Compact Flash and Secure Digital and I believe the XD are rated that way. The rest of them are not, or they may have different kinds of ratings.
Well, as time goes on, then these chips may get faster?
Oh, well, they will. Absolutely. In the last year, it's almost doubled in speed.
Yeah.
So, all right?
If you're just sitting at home on your computer and transferring pictures, the speed isn't really that relevant, is it?
Well, if you're transferring it through a cable from your camera, as opposed to like a card reader, which is one of the recommendations we make, is get a card reader that's plugged directly into a high-speed USB port on a regular kind of a somewhat current computer.
Uh-huh.
And then what you do is you pull the card out of the camera and put it into the card reader, and you can transfer those images much, much faster than through that little cable that comes with the camera.
Okay, well, thanks a lot for the information.
All right, good luck, Jim.
Yeah, bye.
He's a dual digital camera dude.
Well, and he started talking about that Visionaire, and before we were talking about like the cheap low-end things you might want to steer clear of, that would be a good example of one of those things.
George is on the phone. He's got a Nikon, loves the camera, hates the software. Is that right, George?
Well, I didn't say I hate the software. What I wanted to do is to let your listeners know that if you buy a digital camera and that if you want to really do anything with the pictures at all, you need some software.
Correct.
And you're going to have to buy either like what you just mentioned a few minutes ago. You can need to download some things to do some basic editing and cropping and color adjustments, etc. But it takes time.
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
and I wanted to let the people know that if you are not, say, like to tweak and play around with your computer and play around with pictures, you're better off just buying a regular film-type camera because you can take it down to a one-hour photo place. And 1 hour later, you got your pictures. With a digital camera, you can spend 1 hour on one picture.
True enough.
I mean, tweaking it, cropping it, rotating it, you know, doing all kinds of things to it. And you end up, and then if you want to print it, now you got to have paper, then you got to go out and buy a printer.
Well, the other thing is you can take any kind of digital or film camera into a lot of these places, and they'll just convert it over a CD-ROM for you as well. So if you don't have a digital camera and you want to start to experience the rest of the story that we're talking about, you can get film camera images printed on paper and also on CD so you can take it home and start to understand what George is talking about, the amount of time that you'll end up spending if you really want to start playing with these images.
The other thing you can do without having to buy a whole new printer, if you want to get these digital images that you have in an actual picture that you can hold in your hands, you can either take it down to a lot of the stores now that do regular photo processing and they can do that for you, or you can go online, both Kodak and a place called Shutterfly.com.
And Ophoto, and there's a bunch of them.
Yeah, they provide services where you can upload the photos. You can do some small cropping and things. They do a little image enhancing. They'll make prints, and a couple days later in your mailbox, you have those things. So it's very convenient there.
Another way to go. George, have you seen the photo albums, that the hardbound actual like coffee table books now that you can order online with your own images?
No, I haven't.
If you're into digital photography, Apple's had this for a long time with their iPhoto or whatever that system. You could actually order. You could say, okay, take these 20 pictures. I want to create a coffee table, like a hardbound, very nicely printed, you know, high quality coffee table book, and I can put my own captions in. Well, you can do that now at Shutterfly. You can take all your images and create a hardbound book. So, you know, you just got back from a trip from Greece for the Olympics. You can create this incredible kind of memory of your trip in something more than just, you know, what happens with photos is they're really cool when you first see them, and then they end up in a box somewhere, and you pull them out, 20 years later?
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
So, yeah, check that out if you're really into that. You've got a Nikon. Is that an SLR?
No, it's a Nikon, a 4-megapixel. It's called a Coolpix 4300.
Always very highly rated on a lot of the sites out there.
They make really, really nice cameras.
Any pros and cons on your camera?
I found that it was necessary to buy, well, one lady that you had on earlier, I mean, she hit the nail right on the head, is that I had to buy an extra high-capacity battery.
Yes.
Because using the viewfinder and using the display, as you said, the display sucks out the battery, the energy out of the battery very quickly.
Very quickly, yes.
And so I would keep an extra battery charged in my pocket so that when the battery went down, I would stick another one in and I could keep going. And I would strongly recommend that to anyone that's going to go out and take quite a few pictures.
Great tip. Get a second disposable battery. Always have that charged up in your battery camera case and ready to go, because there's nothing worse than, ah!
Or you can strap a generator on your back.
Well, there you go. Go solar with the baseball caps.
Ooh.
Okay.
And the two cup holders.
The last thing I'd like to recommend, and I don't know if they make anything like this, but I've been with people whereby they've lost their cameras, or somebody have taken their cameras, and I was thinking, is there a Bluetooth-type device that it works on a proximity basis between you and the camera, i.e., other words, some type of transmitter or something in a camera, a receiver on you, so that if a camera leaves, gets within, say, 10 feet of you, the alarm goes off.
That's a cool idea.
I'm not aware of it, but... Let's make sure nobody knows about it. We should work on this.
I see. Okay, well.
That actually could be adapted to lots of things, like laptops and cell phones and car keys and, I mean, all kinds of cool stuff.
Yeah, so now, it's not bad enough you're walking through the parking lot and these car alarms are going off. Now we're going to have, in restaurants and in movies and everywhere, we're going to be Bluetooth alarms going off, and it's going to be George's fault!
Wait, made it right. Better than an alarm. Self-destruct.
I see. Okay.
No, George, you know what? That's a great idea, because especially when you're new to the digital camera world and they're so small now.
Right.
You just, oh my goodness, where did I put that?
Okay.
And that's why everybody, if you've got a digital camera, I know it's not the most incredible fashion statement, but wear shirts that have front pockets.
Well, they have straps on them too. Put that like around your wrist.
Something.
You can't set it down. You can't forget.
George, thanks for your input.
All right.
So much.
Thank you.
Again, if you are getting into the digital camera world, the software you use to manipulate the images is really, really important. And you don't really have to load the software that came with the camera. The problem I have with a lot of those CDs is they have 18 programs on there because they want to make you think that you're getting a tremendous value with your camera, just like these people late night television selling computers with $1 million worth of software on it, which most of it's garbage. These programs load into your machine and then automatically load every time you start your machine. And that's what causes machines to take forever. You notice when you first got your machine, it booted right up. 6 months later, it takes 18 minutes for the thing to start to where you can actually do anything with it. These are the kinds of things that happen. Notorious. These digital camera programs are notorious for installing a bunch of stuff in your system so that when you put your memory card in or something, it knows and it just suddenly pops up the software for you automatically. These are all things that are, you know, gosh, did we all forget how to click our mice? You know, you can click on the program when
you want
to use it.
Double click is so much effort, though.
I guess they're trying to save all of those.
You know what it is?
Out there.
It's more about advertising for this program that's been stripped down to try to get you to buy the real one so you don't forget about it than it is about actually giving you something worthwhile.
I would highly recommend you check out the download of the week, Picasa, just to see. I mean, I think it's a much more user-friendly manipulation program. And instead of loading the software, because a lot of people feel like, well, that's the only way I can get the pictures from my camera to my computer.
No, buy a card reader.
Correct. Card readers are $15, $20, $30. You can get a 6-in-1 or 8-in-1 card reader where no matter what kind of memory card that you have, this device can read it, and it just shows up as a drive on your computer when you plug the card in. And what's cool about having a card reader is, one, if you have friends that have digital cameras, and if you don't, you know, it's pretty rare anymore, but if they have their camera with them and they say, oh, you know, we took some great pictures, because you have this 6-in-1, 8-in-1 card reader, no matter what they have, you can take and put their card in real quick and copy all the images off of their card and put it back into their camera and let them go. Or you bought a camera this year that has this kind of memory on it.
And your wife gets a different one next year.
And chances are it's going to have a different type of memory system, and it's no big deal because you just pop it in. And it avoids you having to put any of that junk software in that came with the camera. So you do that and download this Picasa, and you have everything you need to be able to deal with your images, as opposed to what the manufacturers try to get you to do when you buy your camera.
Yuck.
Yeah.
Speaking of yuck, I don't know what else I was going to say about that.
Is it break time, yuck?
It's break time. But we got a segment left. When we come back, we've got Larry, who thinks digital cameras are easy.
They're cool.
Somebody said my wife was easy. I don't know
about that. Stop that right now. Back after this.